Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer, host of this podcast. And my mission in life is to help school leaders fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. If you get value from today's show, you can show some love back by subscribing to this podcast and leaving a rating and review where you're listening right now. I can serve more school leaders by having a better ranking, which is tied 100% to subscriptions, reviews, and shares on social media. In today's show, I talk with Arthur Carmazzi, and we explore a number of interesting topics like using gamification in organizational culture, Arthur's approach to creating great teams, and how at Kingsley Leadership Academy, every student publishes at least one book a year and creates a YouTube channel to share their learning. Today's podcast upgrade is called Using Emotional Drivers to Build Great Teams. It's based on the information in Arthur's new book, Architects of Extraordinary Team Culture, Five Secrets from the Ancient Pyramids. And you can download that content upgrade at betterleadersbetterschools.com/172-Arthur-Carmazzi or click the podcast upgrade link in the show notes page. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. And before we jump in the episode, let's take some time to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving students' soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge don't learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Learn how innovation takes off and soars beyond the confines of a box at conradchallenge.org.
Hi, I'm Dan Krynas from the Leader of Learning podcast, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure to check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. And get ready, because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey there, better leaders. I'm really excited today to be joined by Arthur Carmazzi for two reasons. One, you know, I talk about investing in myself and trying to improve the skills that I bring to work with my clients. One of those things I've done was investing in the WBEX online training, and that's the World Business Executive Coaching Summit. So it's funny how the universe just puts things together for you. This interview you're about to hear was scheduled. And then a week later, I just picked a WBEX session that had an awesome title. And Arthur was the presenter. He blew me away. And then I just knew how exciting it would be to bring Arthur to this show and get some time to chat about leadership, about education with you. The other reason I'm really excited about this is that he's a leadership guru. He really is. And in terms of building culture, in terms of getting people to produce at their best, you're going to hear it throughout the interview, but I am just so absolutely thrilled and excited to have him on the show. Arthur is one of the top 10 of the world top 30 thought leaders in both leadership and organizational culture categories by Global Gurus. Arthur is on a mission to revolutionize the entire education system. He's the designer of the Arthur Carmazzi education methodology utilized by the Kingsley Leadership Academy, a high school cultivating the world's future leaders through Arthur's new education system. He's also the best-selling author of 11 books specializing in psychological approaches to leadership and corporate culture transformation. Arthur, welcome to the show.
Daniel, I am very, very pleased to be here. This is awesome.
So let's start with a perfect day at work. And I'm sure that changes what you do every single day. But what would a perfect day generally look like for you?
Perfect day at work for me?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay. So I get out of bed. I have some time with my kids. Then I commute about maybe 10 meters to the office. Then eventually people start coming in because we don't believe in actual time per se, with the exception of a few individuals. But most people, it's very, very flexible time. And basically, the teams are self-motivating and self operating, I guess, teams, because we have our objectives and I don't actually need to tell them what to do. I mean, my primary goal is brainstorming and stuff. And sometimes I'm sharing some of my knowledge and ideas and we basically get stuff done. I mean, it just happens.
Yeah, that's fantastic. In terms of identifying those goals and what you need to work on during the day, do you have any types of routines or rituals that help you focus and decide what's going to be the key drivers of the day to help you be impactful?
Well, on a daily basis, it's not. Usually we set our goals essentially once a month and we identify what's been done, what hasn't been done, what needs to be improved. A lot of my team is media based. I mean, they're, you know, doing videos or infographics or they're getting out there and getting PR or things of this nature. That allows me to focus on actually coming up with stuff and creating content and things. So when, and of course, I've also reduced my traveling a lot because I wanted to spend more time with my kids. So I actually built a resort here in Bali in order to get people to come to retreats rather than me traveling as much as I used to. But I mean, we've gamified our entire work process, right? So I mean, everybody is gamification essentially is instant and regular measurement related to company objectives. Okay. And as long as it's made fun, people get stuff done and enjoy it.
This would be a good, a good moment to talk a little bit deeper about gamification. I know that there's a new app you have out called Squadly, and I'd love to hear more about that. But I also want to hear, you know, maybe it's connected, but how you actually use gamification with the people in your organization.
Well, there's the people in my organization, and then there's also the school, because I think, you know, the audience probably is much more interested in the actual school, right?
You'd be surprised. I think they're going to be very interested in both.
Oh, all right. Okay. So first of all, let's just look at the creation of the team in the first place, right? One of the key things in putting teams together, especially when it's a small organization, I mean, we only have 12 actual staff working in the office, okay? Now we have some virtual staff working and we have over 400 licensed trainers and coaches in DC psychology in 18 different countries. But if you actually look at, you know, just even the small group, and we've got this whole gamification thing working across both, but if you look at just a small group, we are constantly together. So we're working together, we're doing things together. And in order for you to have a self-operating team and self-motivating team, you've got to have the right team mix, right? So it starts with having one primary motivator or emotional drive that everybody has. Everybody on the same page. So at least, even if you've got, like, again, you've got different processes and, you know, I think you heard the W. Beck's thing, you know, about the, you know, the colored brain and how people have different genetic ambiguity relief process or how people genetically get clarity in different ways. Okay. And that also creates different processes. So if everybody's the same as you, which oftentimes you tend to do because, you know, these guys get me, and then you end up not really having the diversity required. But you still need that, at least that one thing that everybody is connected to. And for us, it's the emotional drive of challenge, basically. And the reason we have that one, and it can be, it's different for different companies, but challenge for us is because we want to break things. I mean, once somebody has done something, we want to do it better, easier, and more effectively. I mean, we don't want to be like everybody else. We want to be the innovators in our industries. And our industry is basically knowledge. It is the development and betterment of people through awareness and knowledge. And by creating a gamified process, understanding these different people's motivators, you're constantly able to measure little things that they do related to objectives. And here's a key thing, though. Anytime you measure, okay, I mean, for example, Facebook is gamifying your life right now, okay? Right. If anybody's on Instagram, anybody's on Facebook, okay, you're always, you know, it's like you put something up and you're always checking, oh, how many likes did I get? Oh, look, I got so many shares and I got, you know, so many views and I got so many comments. And it makes you interested. And when you do the same thing for company objectives, but again, it has to be instant. It's not like, oh, the end of the year review. And when when other people can see them, and when it's not difficult, and you know, you don't want to make it complicated. So like, for example, we developed this ad squad leads because everything out there was way too complicated. And it was created to make it simple, easy, instant, and relevant. And as long as you have those factors in gamifying anything, you are going to have a successful process.
And so Squadly is the app, and it helps with the gamification process. Is that designed specifically for schools?
Well, no, but it wasn't designed specifically for schools. It was actually designed for companies. But if you're looking at schools these days, I mean, you're looking at the Gen Z, right? And the Gen Z, I mean, they live on their phone, okay? And they're very comfortable with their phones and they don't like wasting time. I mean, this is one of the generations who really, I mean, they want to learn stuff. And these guys are much different than the millennials, okay? And they are ready to work hard and everything else, but they still need that, especially them, they need that instant gratification, right? And when you gamify on multiple levels, okay, so for example, in the school methodology, one of the key things we have is the lessons we learned from Harry Potter. So you've got the houses, okay? So in our case, we call them hives. But in this particular case, for example, like we've got the warriors, the guardians. So for example, the difference between the warriors and the guardians, the warriors, they're like, man, let's just go. Let's get them. Let's, you know, get things done. Let's, you know, make things happen. And the guardians less like, no, man, wait a minute. You know, we've got to, hey, let's think about, hey, you know, global warming. And let's think about all the different problems that we're having in the world that we really have to solve. And the reason that we want to kind of have people with the same foundational values is because most of the work that is done through the education is not classroom work, it's project work. And the projects are incorporating the curriculum. So that means that if you don't have people that at least have the same values, like you get somebody that's like, hey, you know, let's just do about business. We don't care about the environment. And you got the other guy that's like, oh man, this so totally sucks, but he's outvoted by three of his teammates. He's going to not really be interested in the whole thing. And it's not going to be effective for his learning process. So it starts with the larger team or the larger group, which is the hive. And then it goes, breaks down into the smaller teams. And the smaller teams, we call them pods, and they literally have pods as classrooms. The classrooms are 5+1. And these are like their offices, their lockers are there, all their stuff is there, all their projects are there. Everything is in these pods. And this group of five people, they belong to a hive, but the group is diverse. They have diverse colored brains or genetic clarity getting processes, okay? But they have at least similar emotional drives, but different enough so that they can support each other. So you've got diversity within a structure of some similarities.
Okay. So those, if I'm following you correctly, those emotional drivers help connect students with similarities, but also create diversity within the hives and pod structure at the school.
That's right. And in order to gamify it, you're gamifying the hives, okay? So how many points does the hive get? So you and your team basically get points. And then the points that you have also are given through the hive. So the hives can win prizes, the teams can win prizes. And because there's different objectives and different types of objectives, you literally have an opportunity for people on, for most teams to actually, well, to actually all teams to be at a higher level on something at one point or another throughout the semester. So you don't actually have the team that's always last and because there's different objectives, right? And sure, you're not doing like the American thing where they just give prizes to everybody because they show up either.
For sixth place, you get an award.
Yeah.
Even though you're a loser. Yeah, got it. We were talking about that, my wife and I, and how is there a graceful way we can return a sixth place award because of how that might impact, you know, the psychology. You know, no, you need to put in a little more effort or whatever to get that first, second, third place trophy. But all right, great. So, you know, Arthur, the incentives that students can earn at Kingsley through this gamification process, what are those? I'm curious.
Basically, I mean, we're dealing with points. So now the points initially, I mean, of course, there's the whole emotional benefits of, hey, being recognized, of having certain privileges to talk to certain people first. Because remember, one of the key things that we have at Kingsley is we have the company partners. And these company partners, I mean, literally, these are CEOs and vice presidents of these big, huge companies. And they don't have time to talk to everybody. I mean, well, okay, they do speeches every quarter and they're from different companies. So technically, we have a speech every week. But you've got the opportunity for the groups to actually pitch to these people, depending on who it is and what week it is and what objectives they've been doing well at. That is gamified. That means that they get opportunities to be at the highest high level and get listened to at the high level. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that can mean a lot of potential opportunities for them in the future. And of course, there's also things related to snacks and food, and the whole thing is still about work. So there's no like time off from your studies, because the whole point is making the whole study thing fun. Even the whole homework element is completely redefined, right? Because mm-hmm. homework is about essentially reinforcing what you've already learned, right? So we don't have teachers, we have coaches. And the success coaches essentially are there to help the students teach each other, because most of this stuff they can find on the internet anyway, okay? And then what you have is you have the opportunity for the students to reinforce that by teaching each other. But also, instead of doing homework, each student has literally created or literally puts together the different elements of the curriculums into story. Okay, so that's one of the things. And when they put it into stories, they're literally writing a book that they will publish by the end of the year. And in this particular case, of course, they also compete on how well their book sales do. And of course, they get to keep the money for that. It's their book. The other part, each pod has a YouTube channel. The YouTube channel essentially goes on about some element that they have learned that week. And their job is to design their YouTube channel whatever way they want. But their YouTube channel also competes and is gamified based on views, based on how many subscribers they have. And of course, all of these are designed to reinforce the knowledge that they have learned. And even the editing of the books themselves is done by the team. So you're reading everybody else's books about the same stuff that they've already learned, and they've all learned it from each other. So everything is relevant to their life, and they're reinforcing it on multiple levels, which means they are more capable of actually taking the official tests without having to study, because technically they've been studying, they've just been doing it in a much more fun way.
Yeah, it's called prepping for making their video or their book a success. I like that real world application, and that you're leveraging platforms that are already built and then metrics that are integrated within there, right? Book sales or YouTube views, subscribers, etc., to gamify the process. But not only are they sharing their learning in an authentic way, it's helping them be better communicators, right? And teammates.
Absolutely.
So that's a really interesting approach. So let's pause here for a second for a message from our sponsors and return. Today's show is proudly sponsored by Organized Binder, a program which gives students daily exposure to goal setting, reflective learning, time and task management, study strategies, organization skills, and more. Organized Binder's color-coded system is implemented by the teacher through parallel process with students, helping them create a predictable and dependable classroom routine. You can learn more and improve your students' executive functioning and non-cognitive skills at organizedbinder.com. Well, hey there, better leaders. We're back with Arthur Karmazi, who is now somebody I'm very, very interested in because of his W. Beck session, Creating an Action-Centered Enrichment Culture. And I was just so fascinated by those ideas, and just the way luck would have it, somehow he was scheduled to be on the show too. Now we're talking about how he's helping redefine education. And we've talked a lot about this school called Kingsley, but we haven't actually heard the genesis story of how you got involved with the Kingsley Leadership Academy.
Wow. Well, okay. It basically started when I was a kid. And when I was in grade school, the teachers compared me to all the other students, and I didn't really compare. I mean, my math and my spelling and reading just basically sucked. And I was very behind for my age. So the teachers basically called my parents one day and said, Mr. and Mrs. Karmazi, your son Arthur is special. Okay. And, you know, we all know what that meant. Okay. And even at that level, I knew what that meant. So, I went to the special kids class, and in this class, there's this teacher, Mrs. Kelly, and she was so sweet. I mean, she was just so kind, and she was always smiling. And, you know, she just made me feel like it was okay to be stupid. And it was eventually you just kind of start to feel comfortable with the level of that you have achieved. And what ended up happening, though, is eventually the school changed the rules and said, oh, sorry, before you can go to high school, you must have an algebra class. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, algebra? I can't do that. Isn't that like math for smart kids?
Oh boy.
And so, you know, I had to go to this algebra class. And of course, my very first report card, what did I get? An F.
F minus.
And, you know, not, Yeah. And nobody was surprised. I mean, my parents were not really surprised. They were supportive, but not really surprised. So the only difference was that Mr. Backus, I mean, he had this shiny bald head and these long kind of longish hair. And he always wore this brown corduroy coat. I don't know if it's the same one or if he had lots of them, but it seems like it was always wearing the same coat. And he sat down and he wrote an algebra problem, a simple algebra problem on the board and said, Arthur, can you solve this? And so, okay, I went to do what I was supposed to, show my work and do all this. No. He said, just look at it. And can you just tell me the answer? And I said, well, okay, this. And he said, that's right. I said, okay. And he did another one. And he said, what's that? And I said, okay, it's this. And he said, that's right. Hey, Arthur, would you like some extra credit? And it's like, sure, I want extra credit. I want to go to high school. So he said, he gave me an opportunity. He says, Arthur, every Friday, we're going to have a competition. And in this competition, you get to compete against some of the other kids who will volunteer for this competition. But you have to volunteer. And I think you're going to do really good at this competition. And I'm thinking, okay, you want me to get up in front of all the normal kids and compete on math, right? He says, no, really. I think you're going to do good at this. I says, okay, fine. Anyway, what have I got to lose? So Friday came up and I'm up there and it turns out that I'm actually good at this game. And it turns out, you know, later on, I found out I have some kind of dyslexia and some ADHD and stuff. But the thing is that when this teacher essentially set me up, he set me up in a way that my brain could actually succeed and that I could actually get some kind of confidence. And what happened was that about 3 weeks later, some of the other kids started coming up to me and saying, hey, Arthur, you know, you can help me with my homework. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, these people think I'm smart. And so I'd make up something. It's like, oh, you know, my mom's waiting for me. Sorry. Until one day, Lynn Pichalski, this beautiful eighth grade girl, comes up and says, Arthur, can you help me with my homework? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I've got the week blacked off for you.
And I learned to be smart. It just changed my entire perspective on education. It changed my perspective on myself. Before, the first teacher, who was wonderful and kind and everything, she just made me feel like, you know, I had achieved my limit. And it was okay. She got me to accept myself. But Mr. Backus, he looked at me and he says, no, there's more. It's just not in the same as everybody else. And this is where, you know, this has always been there for me. And after meeting Barry Goh, who is actually the founder, this guy is this multi-billionaire that builds cities in Malaysia. And he says, I want to make a school that is, you know, because he had a similar story. He says, I want to make a school that really supports these kids, the kids that are, you know, not the super smart A students. And even if they are, it's okay because, you know, they're going to also excel. But those kids that are super smart, that have incredible abilities, that can be potential great leaders in the future, but they don't fit into the system. Mm-hmm. And that's where the school came from. This is where this whole education process and methodology came from, was, or at least initiated, which was sparked by my own inadequacy in school. And in contrast to what I've actually achieved. I mean, I've written 11 books and I can't spell. I mean, I still can't spell. Right. My kids just had a 2-month vacation. Okay. My 7-year-old son wrote a book called Slappy the Crocodile. And my son Dante, who is 10, wrote The History of Life, 50 Fun Facts to Make You Sound Really Smart in that 2 months. They just wrote this book.
Yeah.
And Dante, he can't spell either.
That's powerful. So, and here they are. But you're giving them the opportunity to succeed. You're removing any upper limits. You're trying to understand what strengths they have, what passions they have, and motivate them maybe from those standpoints. And they're writing books in short amount of time that can impact their peers' lives and whoever reads the book.
And it's the story. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the story behind it. Dante, I mean, really, he's literally exact. He's a carbon copy of me. He's having a little bit of difficulty in school. But when he sits down, he's like, likes to watch YouTube, right? So, you know, he watches all of these different learning videos, TED Ed, It's Okay to Be Smart. There's, oh gosh, what is the name of this? Kruger something. And they make all these amazing educational videos that are between 3 to 10 minutes long. And that's all he watches. I mean, you ask him anything about paleontology, or you show him a picture of any dinosaur and he'll be able to tell you the period, how many fossils there have been found, you know, what are the quality of the types of fossils, what they know about it and everything. He'll be able to also tell you about genetic engineering and all this stuff. Okay. And yet he can't spell and he can't do well on his spelling test.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because some of it too is like, are we forcing people to be a certain shape, but we don't have that shape for them to plug into within the structure of school?
Yeah. And again, I mean, Kingsley is all about creating practical outcomes where the kids themselves get to have tangible achievements, literally tangible achievements. They work on their own businesses. They get to keep the money. They get to do these different projects in order, and they combine like we do, you know, our teachers/coaches. What they do is they essentially work as a team in order to connect things, right? So, I mean, it's not like, oh, you learn math and then you learn science and then you learn history. I mean, all of these things are combined. And even drama, and you know, and we highly encourage the arts, okay? And drama is all about being able to communicate and express yourself and argue and negotiate and be able to present, you know, in ways that inspire people.
Right. I really appreciate the approach that Kingsley has. And I think you've definitely challenged the listeners' approach to education and leadership and gave them some food for thought for sure. I think the last question I have before we sort of end the interview here is, you have a new book out, The Architects of Extraordinary Team Culture, 5 Secrets from the Ancient Pyramids Building Great Teams. Can you tell us a bit about the book? Yeah, and building great teams.
First of all, the concept is applied at Kingsley to basically create high-performing student teams, right? So by understanding a couple of markers, primary motivators, emotional drives, okay, you will literally be able to predict the performance of a team. You'll notice that in organizations, we do this in companies all the time, where we go in and we observe different teams and we identify what's wrong with the team. And it's always a people-related issue. Sometimes, I mean, you've got a team of, in one case, I mean, we had a team of 9 people. We observed it. We took one of the guys out because they were very average performing team. We took one guy out. So now you have 8 people doing the work of 9 people and they became a super high performing team. Another time, you know, you've got 5 guys that are, you know, just kind of doing average, and you got another guy that is a new guy, but he's not a super performer. He's an average performer. You put him in with these guys and then the entire team becomes super high performing. So when you understand the dynamics of how that works, there's literally a predictable matrix, then you can build these teams and how to keep these teams motivated. Okay, that's basically what's all in the book. And it's done in a story of building the ancient pyramids. It's a kind of a cheeky, funny story. Most of my books, I do it in a cheeky, funny story way. So it actually takes into account actual historical stuff of what was going on in ancient Egypt and how the pyramids were actually built.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And so people can go there to Amazon. It's going to be linked up in the show notes where you can pick up Arthur's new book on building great teams. And it's centered on, I guess, these emotional drivers, which I'm still investigating quite a bit and figuring out what motivates people to build these world-class teams. It's funny, like you mentioned with the students, you just remove one person from there and fewer people could actually produce higher quality work with less workers.
Exactly. Exactly. And the best thing is, I mean, that it's a recipe. Literally, it's a recipe. Our teacher teams are also very important because we have our teacher coach teams, because each hive has their own set of success coaches. And making sure that those teams are working well together and achieving for the students is a key factor.
So if you know what I'm interested in is if we could predict team success at a high level, right? And the stakes are incredibly high as well in terms of having the right teachers together to work with our children. And then, like you even mentioned, having kids together working on these projects to produce meaningful work. Is it just a lack of understanding, lack of knowledge? Or what do you think is the biggest challenge with creating these great teams then?
I mean, really, it's a lack of awareness. I mean, 20 years ago, you know, if somebody says, oh, you're going to have a computer that's much, much more powerful than the things we have now, and it's going to fit in your pocket, and you're going to be able to, you know, connect with everybody, you know, doing anything, anywhere, and have face-to-face conversations. You're talking about Dick Tracy, man. I mean, it's like...
Yeah.
You know, the awareness just isn't there, right? And it's not that anybody is it's not because people are ignorant. It's just that you don't think about it because it's not there. It's not something that you're always looking, you're not looking for it. Okay. Most people are basically trying to do the best they can in the way that they can. And, you know, you got some really great leaders out there, but sometimes, and we've even created another tool because a lot of times people are in a situation where they know what a good leader should be and they believe that they are that. And when you ask them, well, what's the right way to be? And it's like, well, I should be like this. I should be like this. I should be like this. And so is that the way you are towards your team? Absolutely. And then you ask their team and they say, oh no, he's not like that at all. He's like this, right? But see, that's a perception gap. And we have this thing called, which also uses emotional drivers, it's called the EDMA, Emotional Drive Mirror Assessment, because it helps you to identify the perception gaps of how you think you are and how other people see you at different levels. And it helps you to close the gaps. And even gives you this whole meter and stuff when you're, you know, on what to do and tips and everything else.
That's great. So we'll link up all sorts of resources to get to your content. Teams, effective teams, can be predictable, listeners. That was one of my main takeaways from this podcast episode. And you can go out and get the roadmap to how to build an effective team from Arthur. So check out that new book, Architects of Extraordinary Team Culture, 5 Secrets from the Ancient Pyramids. Arthur, thanks so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, Daniel, it's been really fun. Thank you. And let's see, parting words of advice. You know, one of the things that I've learned is that most teachers really do care. And unfortunately, they just need to work within the system. And if you have enough people that are literally willing to just get together and say, hey, this isn't working. Let's try to make it more relevant to today's kids who will go online and they will challenge what the teacher says. Because sometimes, you know, the teacher's stuff is outdated. They will challenge you and let them challenge you and let them, you know, I mean, by so just be a part of a revolution rather than part of an institution. I guess that would be my parting words.
I love that. Be a part of a revolution as opposed to a part of an institution. Arthur, thanks so much for being my guest on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast.
Oh, and how to get a hold of me? You can contact support@directivecommunication.com.
We'll have that linked up for you listeners in the show notes as well.
All right, Daniel, thank you so much.
All right, Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof. It encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer, and make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates and exercises, coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.